the biggest stories from the pages of the London Free Press and lfpress.com. This is the London Free Press Podcast with your host, Rachel Gilbert.
Welcome to the London Free Press Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Gilbert. It wasn't too long ago that London was the fastest growing city in Ontario, attracting home buyers from more expensive centers from all over the province. But that trend seems to be waning now because London isn't as affordable as it used to be. Today, I'm talking with London Free Press reporter Jonathan Juha about this trend and London's housing affordability crisis. Hi, Jonathan. How are you?
Not too bad. On yourself?
I'm good. So give us an overview. I think most of us know, if we've lived here for a long time, if you've been trying to buy a house in the last 5-10 years or so. But give us an overview of what was happening until recently, because London was the fastest growing city in Ontario. Who was coming here?
So, well, part of the a way to answer that question has to do a lot with the housing market. Like, if you think about the housing market, you can see the shape sort of like a hockey stick, like from, you know, maybe the early 2000s and all of that. It was sort of like almost flat. And then the 2015 mark hit, and then it just started to jump. Prices started to skyrocket. I think it was around 2018 when we first hit the 400,000 average price for a home. And it continued to go up until we hit a peak of about 825,000 around 2022. So it's around that time, 2015, when you start to see the population in London sort of like grow and pick up, and the housing, the prices were a big magnet for people. You know, we had the baby boomers who were retiring, cashing out, selling their properties for a lot in Toronto and in sort of like the GTA area, and buying properties like bigger, but by half the price here in London. So London really became sort of like an attractive destination. The pandemic only made it that much more so, again, because people started to work remotely. A lot of workers had now the advantage of, you know, keeping their paying job in Toronto, let's say, but move elsewhere because they either didn't have to go to the office at all, or just, you know, once or twice a month or something like that. And some of those arrangements are still in place. But that really allowed people to sort of like expand their horizon and where they decided to buy property. And that, you know, phrase of drive until you qualify became even more pertinent for London. People just started to, you know, going down the highway 401 from the GTA and see where they could qualify and would find a home that would meet their budget. So that was one of the big factors allowing London to grow as much as it did. Obviously, international immigration was also a big factor. Western Finch attracting a lot of international students to the city also played a significant role. But overall, rents and house prices were comparably more affordable than in the GTA. So it became an easy decision for thousands of people to say, you know, let's just go to London. It still offers, you know, we have great hospitals, good post-secondary education institutions. So all the amenities that you would want in a city, London has to offer them, right? It created that boom, but again, as demand started to increase, prices started to go out, and that affordability started to erode. And now we are starting to see a little bit of the cracks there. So a little bit of the trends changing in terms of the population. Not to say that London is not growing and that London is not going to continue to grow, but just in perspective, we're starting to see, you know what, we're not attracting as many people from other parts of the province. So maybe that the shine is starting to rub off a little bit.
Was there a point at which we tapped out and then went back down, or you're just kind of starting to see a bit of a downward trickle effect?
At least in my reporting, I think these are sort of like the first figures that I can start to see showing the changing in the trends. Because I mean, if you look at it, even just recently this year, Statistics Canada announced that the London census metropolitan area, which, you know, also includes St. Thomas and Strathford, sort of like the wider London area, passed through the 600,000 people mark just last year, right? Wow. So we're still continuing to grow. But what's interesting to see sort of like below those numbers, some of the trends. And again, some of the trends show that we're attracting fewer people from other places in Ontario when we had been gaining and we're seeing fewer people coming from other places of Ontario. And the city has actually started to lose people to other provinces. So the net number of people, there are more people moving out of London to, let's say, Alberta and Atlantic Canada and places like that, where, again, housing, it's more affordable. And that's sort of like seems to be the main draw. the affordability, and then now we're starting to lose sort of like some of those people. Like overall, we're still growing, we're still gaining, but you can start to see some of those immigration trends change a little bit.
Talk about the numbers that show, you know, the provincial median income doesn't support somebody buying a home here in London, or it would be very difficult. They wouldn't be comfortable, right? You know, they're spending a lot more on a house here.
Yeah, so this study that I used for my story, it's from Royal LePage. It showed that they took the median household income for Ontario for 2022, which was about almost $85,000 a year. And, you know, they used for the different markets, sort of like what the average price of a home was for the first quarter of 2024, how much of that income would go towards managing or servicing your mortgage, right? And they created a top 15 of the most affordable places in Canada to live right now. London didn't make the cut for the top 15. And according to their figures and their analysis, you would need pretty much half of your income. So 49.9% wow. would go towards paying or servicing that mortgage for a property average price of around $675,000. That is also assuming a 20% down payment, which that's another question, like how many people are actually putting the full 20% right now. So it speaks to the affordability crisis, because by all the usual standard use is that you should not spend, or for your home to be considered affordable, you should not spend more than 30% of your income on housing expenses. But when we are talking about 50%, obviously a lot of half of people's incomes would be going just towards their housing. So that speaks to the lack of affordability for London and the region itself, because looking at the table created, only two communities in Ontario actually made it to the top 15. Number one was Thunder Bay, and the other one was Windsor, which made it at number 13. So the affordability, it's difficult everywhere, it seems, in Ontario. Mm-hmm. And then that reinforces that idea as to why we're starting to see people, including from London, leave to other provinces.
Are there any other, I mean, Windsor, I guess, would be the most affordable in this area, southwestern Ontario?
Yeah, that would be the only one who cracked that top 15. And they are at 36 point something percent for the affordability factor, as the study called it. So right. So it's expensive to find housing in Ontario, regardless of where you look at. The further away you move from the GTA in Toronto, the cheaper it is. But with interest rates and how things are right now, it's still very challenging to find homes that, you know, people can consider to be affordable, or is not eating a lot of their income.
Yeah. In your story, and you had mentioned just now that some of your interviewees had mentioned Calgary, Edmonton, Halifax, you know, generally leaving Ontario altogether to find more affordable homes. You know, it wasn't too long ago that Alberta was booming and they were having this issue, but now a lot of Ontarians are moving there. Is that right?
Yeah, it seems to be sort of like going in waves, right? Like like when we saw the growth, it was because the market in Toronto just got out of hand for many people, and people couldn't afford it there. So they started to move a little further away. Now we are at a point where we're not the bargain that we were back in, you know, 2016, 2017. Mm-hmm. But some of those markets are out west, or in Atlantic Canada, they are still a lot cheaper than what we are now. So now they're starting to see a little bit of what we saw a few years ago, the population growing, prices are starting to grow. Even when you look at rent in Ontario, or like for London, the year-over-year increases were single digits, but now you're seeing, you know, double-digit increases in places in Alberta and Edmonton and things like that. Because again, a lot of people are going there now, demand is growing, and now they're going to be starting to have some of those conversations that we're having right now. How do we build more homes? What type of housing do we need? How do we absorb all of that influx of people without it creating an affordability crisis, which is what we are experiencing right now in London?
Yeah. And in Toronto, they're kind of, since so many people had left Toronto to come here and maybe go to other provinces now, ironically, that has now made Toronto, the core anyway, a little more affordable for those staying, right?
That's the key, a little bit more affordable. We're not, obviously, you know, prices are still pretty high there, even compared to us. But
yes,
but it's a little bit better than it was a few years ago. There are more, there's more, a lot more supply, a lot more units available in the core, units for rent and condos for sale and things like that. So it's a little bit more tempting for some people who can afford it to actually stay still and take advantage of some of the lower prices right now. It's all a matter of perspective, right? But if, you know, interest rates were to go down and competition, a lot of the buyers who are on the sidelines were decide to, you know, get back into the market there and things overheated there, then London starts to look like a more attractive proposition again. So it seems like our housing market, it's highly influenced by what's happening in some of the more expensive markets. Yeah. If there's a little bit more affordability there, then people may decide or tend to stay there. For us, when they're really out of overheated or out of control prices and things like that, then that's when people start to look elsewhere and see where they can actually find a place that they can call home.
Sure. And even employers, and you talked to some people in this sector, employers keep an eye on housing trends because, you know, a lot of them are looking for people to move to London. They need to hire people. So they're watching it too, right? What kinds of things are they looking for?
So yeah, housing has become a little bit of a more important part of the conversation for employers, because as the city grew, it attracted and it started to attract bigger businesses. Like you look at the Amazon plant, and now we have the Volkswagen plant that is going to be opening up in St. Thomas.
Sure.
So to fill all those positions, you need workers, right? And if there's not enough housing, then obviously availability is one of the first issues, but also like, how do you set your wages? What is the price point that would attract the workers that you need? Mm-hmm. And for employees, look, for people looking for jobs, they are also looking at that increasingly as, okay, how much I'm going to be getting paid? What are my housing costs going to be? Where am I better off, right? So companies are also looking closely now at the situation of the housing market. And it's an important factor for both employers and employees when finally making the decision of, you know, either moving or relocating to a place or attracting the type of workers that they need for their company to grow. And it's an important conversation to have because London is in a position where we're going to be needing to attract thousands of workers over the next coming years, again, with the big plants that have come and businesses that are coming, and then the retirement wave that we're going to be seeing in the next few years with baby boomers also retiring, hitting retirement age. Mm-hmm. So you need, like, you know, younger workforce to sort of like take over some of those positions and those jobs. And so housing will be a critical part of that conversation and how to attract and retain the talent that the region is going to need to continue to grow economically.
So what do we do? What can we do? What are we doing to make room for all of those people that are still need to come for jobs, but also London is still growing. I mean, it's not like people aren't moving here at all. But what do we need to do to make room for all of these people?
Well, the simplest answer is just to build more housing. You know, City Hall has been trying to aggressively, you know, change things to spur construction. We have received federal funding for new initiatives to try to speed up the processes and the type of housing that is built here. But basically, we have some aggressive targets that we need to meet. The city itself needs to, according to the province, about 47,000 units by 2031 to sort of like meet the short term demand that is expected. But the number, like the further you go, like the latest projections by the Ministry of Finance that the London's population could reach just in the city 685,000 people by 2046. So that would mean we would need more than 100,000 new homes, different types of homes, single family homes, apartments, townhouses, just to house all the people at a point where affordability, you know, prices don't go out of control and people can actually still afford and pay for their rents or their mortgages and things like that. So increasing the supply is going to be sort of like the main mechanisms. At least that's what experts say, that would help, you know, the city be able to attract the number of people that it needs, but still retain them and keep them here and bringing that affordability down and closer to what people are earning.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm sure you'll have a lot more on that for us in the coming months, weeks, you know, years even at lfpress.com. So we'll watch your stories on that. And thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.